Time for our local hero spotlight with Phil Corman from CESA, the local hero folks, who are hosting Field Notes at the Academy of Music on Sunday, November 24th. Phil, tell us a little bit more about the event.
For CESA, every day of the year, we're trying to share what farmers are doing, the lives they lead, and why it's so important that we can connect to the people who put the food on our table. And we thought, well, you know, we think farmers can tell these stories. And in part, Monty, you and I are here every week doing this, and we've done almost over 400 of them, and we hear great stories. So it was just time to let folks stand up and tell their own stories from the fields to the cafes. And it's all about, you know, Western Mass and how we grow and share our food.
And last year was like an emotional roller coaster, funny stories, compelling stories, sad stories. And I'm anticipating another great event this year on the 24th at the Academy of Music. And one of those storytellers is Dan Botkin from Laughing Dog Farm in Gill. And Dan, you brought a fruit that I've heard of, but I've never experienced. What is this fruit?
That's a pawpaw, Monty.
I know of it because of the Bear Necessities song from the Jungle Book.
Now, when you pick a pawpaw or a prickly pear,
describe this pawpaw for me.
Well, it's a green fruit like a mango. It's native to the eastern seaboard, Virginia and Ohio and New York, Pennsylvania. Most people don't know about it because it has no commercial application. It's not shipped far. No one's made it into an industry yet. It's also called a hillbilly mango.
Uh-huh.
And down south, there's a lot of mythology around it, and it's delicious.
You said it's the fruit of the gods.
Well, that's my call. I think it's one of the most delicious fruits.
Do you peel it like a mango, or what do you do?
The skin is edible, but slightly bitter. The fruit inside is amazing, and there's large oblong seeds that are shiny and black. They're quite beautiful. And
should I peel this right now and eat it?
You could break it in half and bite into it and tell us what you think.
Here, Phil, have you ever tried
a pawpaw? No, I never have.
Never tried one.
This is an amazing experience for both of us. Yeah, it's like a more delicate mango. It's like mango meets banana.
That's what they say. A cross between a mango and a banana.
Wow, I nailed it. And you grow them at Laughing Dog?
We do. They've become de rigueur with the permaculture set. The reason why they're not commonly grown is because they take a while to produce. They're finicky pollinators. Allegedly, the fly that pollinates the mango is attracted to dead meat. So some people will hang roadkill in their orchard.
That's gross and amazing.
My associate Aaron took a paintbrush and pollinated one by one with the pollen from the male flower, carrying it over to the female flowers to make sure that we got good pollination.
That's where baby cows come from nowadays too, basically. Dan Botkin from Laughing Dog Farm in Gill, which is right on the cusp of the former Renaissance community, which looms large in the psyche of Franklin County, including in a building that I've grown very fond of, the Shea Theater.
We ended up there several years ago. It's kind of ironic because I was a young wannabe hippie dreaming of commune, dreaming of intentional community and getting back to the land. Having seen my older brother and the other back to the landers back in the 70s. So now that the commune is defunct, we ended up there. We've turned one of the parcels into a beautiful organic farm. It's a sunny, beautiful hilltop. We have goats and greenhouses. We mentor young people and try to live a positive life in some crazy times.
So you're carrying over some of the old Renaissance traditions there.
We believe that there was a lot of good transcending human greed and war and hatred and assassination. And even though the commune died very hard, we believe there was a lot there to carry on. And we've tried to just smudge the bad and be righteous and live the good life.
We don't want you to tell the story you're going to tell.
No, don't tell it. Don't tell it.
At Field Notes. But tell us about the story you're going to tell at Field Notes.
Okay.
To kind of tantalize us.
This story is about a great goat epiphany. When we started out, we were very green farmers, and we were learning and reinventing the wheel along the way. So we thought that you just lived with feral wild goats and dragged them to and fro whenever you needed to. And this is the story about how our herd became almost magically, unexpectedly tame through a very dramatic midwinter birthing drama.
Love it. Speaking with Dan Botkin from Laughing Dog Farm in Gill, where does the name of the farm come from?
Well, briefly, I was Daniel Dog in college, nicknamed.
Can I stop you right there? Because the weirdest thing is when I was in like grade school, I was referred to as Bob the Magic Goat. I haven't really even thought about that in probably over a decade and a half.
Well, somehow in college, we all gave each other nicknames. And the one that stuck with me, I was the dumpster diving king of Olympia, Washington.
Uh-huh.
Maybe not the king, but one of the leading players.
You're in the court of dumpster divers.
Exactly. And we.
How deep could you dive?
Well, back then it was shady dealings, sneaking around at night. I actually got arrested once.
Hmm.
These days, all my salvaging is legal and above board.
Nice.
But back then, it was kind of a nightly adventure to go and see what the Safeway and the Albertsons had in store out back.
Uh-huh.
And if you know anything about food waste in our country, you can imagine it wasn't a little bit. We actually salvaged so much food back then that we started a soup kitchen out of someone's garage. We were, until the Board of Health shut us down.
Uh-huh.
This nickname Daniel Dog stuck with me because of being such a gleaner and a recycler. And then later on, I had some rough time in life, got some serious injuries, a broken heart, a divorce, etc. And so that period of life was pretty much referred to as the crying dog stage. And then I had been peering across the property where I had lived, this property, the Renaissance Community, where my ex-wife and I owned an apartment, and we saw this other property that was just ripe for farming. And the dream was hatched, and I approached the people who owned the land, and we were able to make an arrangement. And I took over this property and basically retired from teaching and social work and just never looked back 20 years ago. And of course, that was a very happy time, and the crying dog became hence the laughing dog.
Speaking with Daniel Dog Botkin, the laughing dog of Laughing Dog Farm and Gill. And you brought some other amazing stuff apart from these delicious pawpaws. What did you bring?
We realized long ago that on our 5-acre farm, we weren't going to feed the planet. So we realized that heirlooms and specialty diversity, that was the watchword to grow exotic potatoes, not just white and red, but the purples and the pinks. And I've brought you a sampling of our most amazing heirloom produce here. Heirloom squash. We call that a squumpkin because nobody actually planted that. That's a cross, probably
it's shaped
a cross.
Like an old-timey phone.
That's a bumpy, gnarly papo squash, probably a cross between some type of zucchini and some type of gourd.
Is it edible?
It is definitely not edible.
I didn't think so.
Then you got a giant Asian pear, which just is one of our all-time favorites.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, a couple nights ago, I looked high and looked low, rescued the tomatoes, rescued the peppers, forgot the Asian pears.
Oh.
So several dozens of Asian pears got frosted in the tree. But this one was under a bush, and so I saved it for you, Monty.
Oh, thank you.
You're going to love that.
I can't wait.
Asian pears just...
I'm going to bite into it now. Very fragrant, more subtly sweet than some other pears, but it's delicious.
All right, then. This is a yakon root. I don't know if you know yakon.
It's spelled with a D at the beginning?
Y, like bacon
Not
with
daikon,
a Y.
Right?
No, it's daikon is a radish. This is a root from South America called yakon.
Oh.
It's widely known in Europe. My French friend knows all about it. In Montreal, they know about it. Apparently, it has not caught on so much in America, but it's an amazing crop. It's a sweet, naturally sweet root crop, incredibly prolific, and it's sweetened with inulin, which is a natural sweetener, which does not affect diabetics. So it has the potential to be a superfood. Inulin.
It sounds so much like insulin that it'd be easy to confuse it.
And I actually roasted some yakon for you to try.
Oh, wow. Cool.
And we've been experimenting how to eat the yakon, and we've decided that this is the best way.
And this has the natural sweetener
on it? Naturally sweetened. That is completely natural. That has nothing but a little olive oil and salt.
Mmm. That's good. It's got the olive oil and salt give it the savory thing, and the sweet is excellent, too.
That's probably our signature crop, Monty. That's the goat cheese that we make at Laughing Dog Farm.
And we're going to hear more about those goats, I think, at Field Notes on the 24th.
And will you be providing goat cheese to everyone at the Academy on the 24th?
That's good goat cheese.
I would. Except for one problem. We are not a certified dairy. And so we operate basically as a mom and pop under the table operation. We share our goat cheese with those we love.
Ah,
I feel so
that's
touched.
Us.
You're welcome. a pink daikon, since you mentioned daikon.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I had no idea daikons came in so many colors.
Yeah, this is like hot pink, fluorescent almost.
My young intern, Graham, has turned me on to all of the daikon variations. This is ginger and turmeric. Several years ago, I did not even know that you could grow ginger and turmeric in New England, but with greenhouses.
Oh, yeah.
Fresh, that came out of the ground today.
Man, oh, man.
Today.
Makes you feel healthier.
So in the greenhouse, how long can you keep the ginger in the ground?
It got harvested yesterday.
Yeah.
Because
the cold.
That cold, it can be down. It's a tropical crop. So we push it. We get push it on the front end and push it on the back end. And then when it's all done, we pull it up and get what we can. Heirloom potatoes, heirloom garlic.
Beautifully decorated heirloom garlic. It looks
no,
like
it grows that way.
Yeah, with ribbons and bows.
That's my associate Aaron Falbel, who is an amazing bicycle riding fellow from Sunderland, who's been working as a volunteer on our farm for 12 years. And he years ago he showed me not to throw my garlic in a corner and leave it dusty and forgotten, but to decorate it.
Make it beautiful.
Make it beautiful.
This is what vampire hunters give each other on romantic occasions. A bouquet of garlic, beautifully appointed.
That is our magical mix of heirloom pole beans.
Ah.
Of course, we have limited acreage, so everything about our farm is about verticality.
Uh-huh.
You know, we ran out of acres years ago. We filled every inch with trees and bushes and berries. So now we build trellises. Some of them are as tall as 20, 25 feet tall. And those beans will go up the trellis and produce as much on a vertical trellis as a large horizontal bed could in a traditional garden. And there you have heirloom beans from all over the world.
There's a theme that comes up for me a little bit, which is that, you know, you and I were talking about how you got to the party a little bit late, meaning the 60s. You were very active in the Hacky Sack Global Peace Movement. And I'm just wondering, the way you share your food, is there some aspect of that involved?
Like, well, you kick a little bit over to your friend and hope
precisely,
that they kick it back?
The theme of my life has been education, inspiration, facilitation, experiential learning, and sharing the gifts that we have. You know, I have two. My parents were both teachers, both educators, philanthropists, humanists. So we all grew up with that ethic of doing the best you could and trying to pass it along. And so for me, footbag, the game of hacky sack, which I discovered at the New Salem Academy in 1985, when the young troubled youth were out in the woods cutting their classes, kicking hacky sack, I caught on to what was a brilliant and miracle-inducing sport, which had the ability to bring people together around the culture, around whether they were conservative or liberal or young or old. So I took that and went to South Central America with a group of American hacky sack athletes and a filmmaker, and we were able to create a beautiful document. Of course, I had hoped that the world would coalesce around this wonderful passion of ours and we would all kick merrily away into the peaceful future, and that, of course, didn't happen.
Because kids like me in the 90s ruined it by setting hacky sacks on fire and kicking them back and forth to each other. True story.
Well, like everything, the movement got co-opted and faded, and now it's an anachronism. There's still a few old-timers like me that will break it out and kick it between seeding carrots or weeding tomatoes. But the essence is the same. The group spirit, everyone in the circle wins. No apologies, we work together, and we're all one for all and all for one. So that essence still persists, and that's hopefully the mantra of our farm.
I can't wait to hear you spin some more yarn at Field Notes on Sunday, November 24th at the Academy of Music, an afternoon of storytelling.
Rocks. And Monty is hosting.
I'm hosting. Daniel Botkin, the laughing dog of Laughing Dog Farm and Gill, and Phil Corman from CESA, the local hero, folks. You can find out more about Field Notes at buylocalfood.org.
I would invite both of you to visit the farm at any point. That is our best crop, is visitors and inspiration and trainees for the future.